Madison, a city known for its open-mindedness. A city of diversity. A city of many voices. This is Outreach, a positive voice for Madison's minority population. Outreach is sponsored by St. Mary's Hospital. To be a part of the program, call 321-1310 or toll-free 877-235-1310. Now here's your host, Darrell Connor, on News Talk 1310 WIBA and WIBA.com.
Good evening and welcome. News Talk 1310 WIBA, Darrell Connor with you. Outreach here till 7 p.m. And then we'll get ready for the Wisconsin Badgers versus the Nebraska Cornhuskers at the Kohl Center. Pre-game starts at 7 p.m. Game at 8 o'clock on News Talk 1310 WIBA on this snowy Tuesday evening. Be careful on the roads out there, folks. It is slippery and it is windy. And so a lot of drifting snow out there. Be careful on the roads, whether you're driving home or whether you're heading to the game tonight at the Kohl Center. Boy, I tell you. You know, last week, last Thursday, when I was on the show, we were talking about the school board primary, and Sarah Mansky, at that time, had just dropped out of the race that afternoon. And we spent a lot of time on the show on Thursday talking about whether or not Sarah Mansky should have told voters that there was a possibility that she would be leaving town because her husband was applying for graduate school, both at the UW and also out of state. And I said at the time, look, she wasn't under any obligation to tell voters that whatsoever. Now the story has gotten more strange. And frankly, it stinks to high heaven. So I want to break this down tonight and talk about it. And get your take on this, because I heard about this Friday evening into Saturday morning. And I said some things. I went to social media, as a lot of us do, and I said something. And I had a lot of people come to me and say, Darrell, wait a minute. Are we going to indict people without knowing the truth? Are we just going to just assume that Sarah Mansky is telling the truth here, that because she's outing other people, namely Marge Passman, a member of the Madison Metropolitan School Board. So are we just going to assume that people are guilty until proven innocent? And I say, look, I answer that by saying, under normal circumstances, you're right. And frankly, I'll be honest, I don't know if Marge Passman is involved in this or not. I suspect that she and others were involved in this scheme. And if I'm wrong about that, I'll gladly say so. I have no problem saying if I'm wrong. But something stinks here to high heaven. So just to catch you up just briefly, Sarah Mansky, who was the top vote getter in Tuesday's primary last week, was a three-candidate race between her, T.J. Mertz, and Ananda Murili. Sarah Mansky, T.J. Mertz finished first and second. Ananda Murili finished as third. So that meant that Sarah Mansky and T.J. Mertz go on to the general election. Well, as you know, Sarah Mansky backed out on Thursday, citing the fact that her husband had been chosen and selected to a graduate school in California. And at the time, people really didn't buy that story because it's a process. It's not something that just comes up out of the blue. So people had some questions about when the Manskys knew and why did she enter the race in the first place. And for me, that hasn't changed. But now comes word from Mansky herself that she was encouraged to run by some folks who she won't name other than, or in addition to, a person that she did name, school board member Marge Passman. Now, this, of course, has made many folks in the community, both the African-American and Latino communities, upset. I spoke to a lot of people over the weekend, and people aren't happy because they see this as another attempt or another way to drown out voices of color in this community that don't walk in lockstep with what the establishment believes as far as education goes and where and what direction the Madison School District needs to go to address our stubborn achievement gap issue. So I want to break this down and tell you why I believe what I believe, and then ask a series of questions and get your takes on this. Now, let's think about this for a moment. Let's put ourselves in Sarah Mansky's shoes. Okay? Imagine you run for school board. And you find out, or even before that, you know that your spouse is applying for graduate schools both here and outside the state. Now, wouldn't that make you think twice about running for school board? I know I would. I mean, that'd be on my mind because I may not be here. So you decide to run anyway, and let's face it, folks, you just don't just decide to run. People often come to you and say, you know, you'd be great for the school board. Why don't you think about running for school board? People often ask you or suggest that you run for something. And you say, well, yes or no. So somehow, Sarah Mansky decides that she's going to run. Now, I can understand you keeping that from voters, even though I think it's wrong, and even though I think for many folks out there who supported Mansky, who were upset at her today, have said, look, you should have been upfront and honest with the voters to say, listen, there's a possibility I won't be here. Well, if you say that, then people won't vote for you. So I get it. I don't agree with it. But I get why she didn't say anything to the voters. Again, don't agree, but get it. But here's my question. Here's one of my questions. Why would you keep that secret from the folks in your campaign? The folks that are helping you run your campaign. What do you have to gain by keeping that from them? Because either way it goes, if your husband is applying for graduate jobs, or excuse me, graduate schools in state and out, and then from what we understand, Madison was off the list, which left schools out of state, which meant that your chances of leaving the state go up, plus you're living in a place that's rented. What do you have to gain by not telling the people around you? And why, outside of just being absolutely narcissistic, would you run in the first place? Why would it matter? And you decide this in 2013, not last year, not 3 years before, not 5 years before. You just decide all of a sudden that 2013 is going to be the year, the same year your husband's applying for graduate schools in and out of state. You decide that this year is the year that you're going to run for school board out of all years. How long they been in Madison? Been in Madison for years, right? Mansky's popular name here. So, the question is, why even stay in the race at that point? Why wait until after the primary to back out? What does Sarah Mansky have to gain by staying in this race, but by entering the race to begin with, but staying in it until after the primary? Well, here's one. You have two progressives in the race. One that's not part of the club. And you say, hey, we have double the chance of moving forward. And at the same time, we can knock out somebody that isn't a part of the club. So Mansky finishes first. Mertz finishes second. Marilli's out. Mansky backs out. That leaves Mertz. And I'm not saying that TJ Mertz had anything to do with this. But what I am saying is these same folks who supported Mansky and the establishment in Madison and the school board and the teachers union, are they going to shed a tear if TJ Mertz emerges as the winner of seat five? No. But they may have a problem if Ananda Marilli does. Why? Because perhaps it's because she sits on the board at Nuestro Mundo. Perhaps it's because she came out in favor of Madison Prep and folks in this town, some of whom who are in this clique, see this as a threat. So they plot this scheme to eliminate the threat. I don't think this is far-fetched or hard to believe at all. And I don't think it takes a genius to figure out what could have happened here. The thing stinks. It stinks to high heaven. So when we come back, I'm just going to ask a series of questions and get your take on it. But first, Ananda Marilli is going to announce whether or not she's going to continue her campaign as a writing candidate. Should she do so? 321-1310 or 1-877-235-1310. Back in a few minutes, you're listening to News Radio 1310 WIBA.
Awareness Education. This is Outreach with Darrell Conner. Outreach is sponsored by St. Mary's Hospital on News Talk 1310 WIBA and WIBA.com.
You know, I love it now that you hear all these people all saying that Sarah Mansky's a bad person. Sarah Mansky's horrible. She's terrible. What she did was terrible. What a terrible person. How dare she? How dare she come on in the newspapers and blame this on Marge Passman and say that others along with her convinced her to run and that they told her that wouldn't be a problem. She had to resign her seat because the board would appoint somebody good. How dare her? She's a liar. Well, you know what? For somebody who's such a bad person and a liar, she sure got a lot of support from a lot of folks in this community. A lot of big names, too. Peter Barca, Mark Pocan, Mayor Paul Soglin, among others. A lot of name recognition. Now, some have said, well, she, you know, I've heard people say, you know, she made up some of those names or she, you know, faked some of those endorsements. No, let's call it like we see it, okay? She had a lot of support. And she got a lot of votes in a pretty, I would say, light would be being nice. A pretty light turnout for a primary. She got quite a few votes. And a pretty good percentage of the votes. She finished first. Now, is there any reason not to believe that had she gone on to the general election that she probably would have won? Given her endorsements? Now, there's a chance she may not have. But a pretty good chance she would have won. But I love it. Now she's a bad person. Well, then, you know, like Morris Passman saying, it's sad to believe that this kind of a person came close to being elected to one of the most important offices in our city. Well, what'd you endorse her for if she's that terrible? I just love how everybody's saying she's horrible now. Look, there's no question that she hid this from people and that she lied. There's no question. She's admitting that she ran for the seat so knowing that she may not be able to serve out her term because of her husband's status. So we know that already. So what people want us to believe then is because she lied, then that just renders everything she said moot. No, it doesn't. You know why? Because I look at this like I look at anybody that does dirt. You had a group of people that do dirt, and then somebody gets caught. What happens 90% of the time? They snitch. They snitch. They go, oh, they were involved. These other people were involved with me. What did she do? They made me. They told me to do it. Just like a child. They told me to do it. Now look, again, Marge Passman may turn out to be innocent in this. And if she is, hey, I'll say, look, I was wrong. It looked shady. Thought she was involved. Didn't look good. Turns out she wasn't. I have no problem saying it, but this is shady. There were people involved in this. So let me ask a few questions. Why do all of this for a primary? Not the general election. A primary. A general election that you probably had a good chance of winning. So why do all of this for a primary, wait until the primary is over and then back out? I'm just supposed to believe that she just did this because I just want my name in lights. I just want my name out there. Come on. I mean, maybe, is that plausible? Maybe. But highly doubtful. Here's another question. If Ananda Murili, I want everybody to think about this. If Ananda Murili had finished second, do you think Sarah Mansky would have left this race? Do you honestly? If Ananda Murili had finished second, do you think Sarah Mansky would have left the race? Or would she have stayed in? Here's another question. See, because I had people telling me, oh, Darrell, you know, you're just jumping to conclusions. You're convicting people without a process. It's innocent until proven guilty, Darrell. Let me tell y'all something, okay? Let's flip the script. Let's take two Republicans and one progressive. The two Republicans win first and second, leaving the progressive out, and then come to find out one of the Republicans leaves the race 2 days after the primary because their spouse got accepted into graduate school. Take these same circumstances and flip the script. How do you think people would react right now? What do you think the progressive community would be doing right now? I'll tell you what they'd be doing. We got my friend Doug Cunningham over at the People's Mic on Sister Station 92.1. He'd be all over this. John Nichols would be on Cap Times writing an editorial right now. And you'd have folks ready to storm the Capitol. Can you imagine? Seriously. Imagine what would happen if these were two Republicans in this town and this happened. Would you hear, oh, no, innocent till proven guilty. We don't know all the facts. We don't know what happened. Would you hear that from these folks? No. And here's the funny thing. Here's the difference. I'd be saying it was shady. No matter what, I'd be saying it was shady. It is shady. How can you not think it isn't? All of this, and I believe all of this, is because of Madison Prep, charter schools, and folks in this town who believe that, one, we ought to be doing better for our kids, and two, we got to look at some alternative ways of doing it. And it doesn't mean that you're anti-teacher for saying that or anti-public schools for saying that. But whenever you say that, that's what you get labeled. So we got to stop those people. We got to stop them. We can't have any of those people on the board. Even if it means stepping on the necks of people of color in this community. That's what we're going to do. because we'd rather see kids fail and keep the status quo than to have some people who may have a little bit different worldview than you on the school board. That's what this is about. And you can't convince me otherwise. I mean, this is unbelievable to me. And please, I don't want to get any emails from anybody trying to tell me that they would have, I would have waited till the process played itself out before I'd have reached a decision. No, you wouldn't. I'm listening to, who was that? I thought you were playing something, Brent. You interrupted my flow. But seriously, here's my question. Should Ananda Marilli re-enter this race as a write-in candidate? 321-1310, toll free 877-235-1310. You're listening to News Talk 1310 WIBA. We'll be back.
Providing a positive voice for the minority community. This is Outreach with Darrell Conner. Outreach is sponsored by St. Mary's Hospital on News Talk 1310 WIBA and WIBA.com.
Welcome back. My apologies for that dead air there for a few minutes. There was something else. It was another show playing in my ear all of a sudden, and I thought that was being played over air. So by the time it went off, I realized that it was just in my headphones and not over air. Talking about the primary fiasco. I mean, folks, seriously. I mean, if this were, if these were Republicans involved, people would be already at the Capitol right now. They'd be protesting right now. There'd be editorials written. There would be blogs written. Folks would be all over social media talking about this because it's shady. See, I'm not going to be partisan about this. If I think something looks shady, it looks shady. In this instance, it's shady. I'm sorry. And here's the other thing that got me too. You had folks saying, "Oh well, because you know Dave Blaska had written a blog, I guess, over the weekend about it, and you know Vicky McKenna was talking about it yesterday. Her and Brian Schimming and Dave Blaska was on." And you had people saying, well, you know, anybody that would follow the ramblings of Dave Blaska really ought to be questioned. Look, man, we ain't falling for the okey-doke, okay? All right? Don't try to deflect. This has nothing to do with Dave Blaska. It has nothing to do with Vicky McKenna or Brian Schimming. It has nothing to do with Scott Walker or anybody else. This has something to do with this candidate and this race and whether or not she was part of a coup to keep out somebody else and a person of color because they don't fit into your worldview or to the establishment's worldview. This has got nothing to do with Dave Blaska. Don't try to deflect and talk about, well, if Dave Blaska wrote it and you agree with it, then that means you walk in lockstep. Nuh-uh. See, no. See, that's the kind of stuff people try to pull to make folks feel guilty. To make folks feel guilty about how they feel. Because somehow that means that you're walking with the other side. No, sorry. This is shady. Okay? It stinks to high heaven. And what kills me about this is I get emails and phone calls and messages from folks want me to go up to the Capitol and participate and stop the charter bill. And did you hear about Governor Walker and his speech last week about vouchers? We've got to stop this. Come help us. You know what? Personally, why should I? I mean, if I'm looking at folks in the community of color, and some of my Caucasian brothers and sisters out there who understand what this is and understand what's at stake, I'm looking at them, I'm like, I mean, if I were anyone, especially anyone of color in this community, anyone else besides myself, I'd be like, why should I? You're the first ones protesting about your rights being taken away or things being taken away from you, and yet you can't stand up for the folks who don't have voices. And I'm supposed to do what? I'm supposed to what? Go march to the Capitol with you? When you got folks who I suspect are in cahoots to keep voices of color out? Voices of color who don't walk in lockstep with the establishment? Nah. Sorry. Not going to do it. And for the folks out there who listen to this program, the folks of color out there, I'm telling you, I wouldn't do it anymore either. The people that I spoke to over the last several days are sick and tired of this. They're tired. And I don't blame them. And where this started, I'm going to tell you. I've been doing this show for almost 7 years. And we have talked a lot on this program about the issue of the achievement gap and Madison Prep. And I'm going to say this. I think it has gotten progressively worse since that vote in December of 2011. And here's the story. I've only shared this once. I'm going to share it again. I don't share it too often, but he's not here anymore. But I'm going to share this quick story. A week before the vote, I met with Dan Nierad, then Superintendent Dan Nierad, and Joe Gothard. Now, if anybody questions this story, they can go ask Joe Gothard. He was there. I met with Dan, and I looked at him, and I said, listen, I don't think there should be a vote next week. I think what should happen is both sides, I don't care how you do it, what you do, both sides need to get together. I even wrote a column about it, about what should happen. Both sides need to get together, call a press conference and say, we're going to take the next 3 to 6 months to hammer this out. This is too important. This issue of the achievement gap is too important to this community for us to be sitting here arguing over this. We got to figure out a way over the next 3 to 6 months to make this work somehow. We've got to do something. And Dan Nierad looked at me and said, well, we can continue to have conversations. We can have conversations. And I looked at him and I said, look, but with all due respect, that's not good enough. Because if this goes to a vote next week and the answer is no, you are going to lose people in this community. You're going to lose a segment of this community and you're never going to get them back. I don't think this should go to a vote. I practically pleaded with him to get on the phone. I said, look, I'll do my part. I'll call the Urban League. I'll call members of the Madison Prep Board, whatever you want me to do. I think the two sides need to come together, have a united front, call a press conference and say, look, we got to take some time to go through this. We don't think it should go to a vote. We're committed to working together. Nope. Didn't want to do that. Vote went down. And now it's been worse, not better. Ever since. Now, can I point the blame at both sides of this to a degree? Yeah. I think both sides made errors leading up to that. But it has gotten progressively worse, pardon the pun, and not better. And that's where I think it all came to a head there. And now no one trusts the system. No, there's no trust whatsoever. Period. And this is just another example. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Dave. Hello, Dave. How are you?
Hey, great topic and hot button topic too. You know, when I, of course, I've been following the Madison Academy for a long time now, and it was clear from the get-go on this particular issue that this was an anti-Academy move by those people. And when I started following it, at first I thought, well, just kind of interesting. And then when it started getting bigger and bigger, I said to myself, Mansky's telling the truth, because it started as just small talk. And then the reporter went to the other side, Pashman, and she denied it. Then it went back to Mansky, and Mansky stuck with her story. Now, she's got nothing to lose because she's leaving, and she's an MTI person.
Yep.
I mean, she's an MTI candidate also, but she had nothing to lose. But she told the truth because she stuck with her story, and she, like I said, she has nothing to lose. She's leaving shortly for California.
Yeah, I mean, Dave, thanks for the call. I mean, that's what I'm saying, too. Look, what does she have to gain at this point? What does she have to lose? She has nothing to gain or lose. She's leaving either way. What killed me was how quickly people threw each other under the bus. I mean, it went from, hey, Mansky's our person. She's great. To, I can't believe this kind of person almost got a seat on our board. Really? And you endorsed her. So what does that say about you and others? Unbelievable. Some final thoughts when we come back. Listening to News Talk 1310 WIBA.
A new voice for the entire community. This is Outreach on News Talk 1310 WIBA and WIBA.com. Outreach is sponsored by St. Mary's Hospital.
You know, I'm still waiting for the kids to take center stage here. I'm waiting for this to be all about the kids. So here's some final thoughts. You know, I've looked at some of the other races and just kind of looked at some information, read through websites and different things. I'm reading people's websites, and they're talking about Green Party, and, you know, we've got candidates for the Green Party, and people say I'm running to stop Scott Walker and his corporate friends from privatizing public schools. It's like, what's that got to do with the kids? What is all this Green Party stuff and getting candidates on? What's that got to do with the kids? See, here's my problem with this whole thing. If you don't get anything out of this show tonight, get this. You know, I hear all this stuff from folks talking about Scott Walker and vouchers and all this other stuff. All right? Maybe what people need to do, and I'm talking about the establishment who apparently wants to keep the status quo, maybe you ought to take a long look in the mirror and ask yourself, what am I doing to make sure that our kids, all of our kids, regardless of color, background, special needs, disabilities, gender, sexual orientation, whatever the case may be, get the best education possible? If we focus more on that, then maybe we wouldn't have to worry about somebody talking about vouchers or some perceived threat of privatizing the public schools. And we have people wanting to join school boards so they can stop Scott Walker and his corporate friends from taking over the public school system. Maybe if we put the focus on how do we better educate our kids and make this a community effort and get the community's input, and I mean all members of the community, not just a select few, maybe we wouldn't have this issue to begin with. Has anybody ever thought of that? So here's my thing. Because I don't play politics, especially when it comes to kids and education. For me, I look at it like this. I don't care if you have a D next to your name or an R next to your name. If you have ideas about how we better educate our kids, if you have ways to keep so many of our kids out of the pipeline to the criminal justice system, I'm willing to listen. I got no problem with it. I'm willing to listen. You have good ideas, I'm willing to listen. I don't care if an R is next to your name. I don't care if it's a D. I don't care. That's the way it should be. This is supposed to be about the kids. And once again, the adults are ruining the conversation and ruining more good things from happening in our schools to get all of our kids on the right track. And it's a downright shame. And you all ought to be ashamed of yourselves. And that's it for me. That's all I got to say on the topic. at least for today. Thanks for listening, everybody. We will see you next week. Take care. Have a good night.